Praise the Lord. Don't you just love the book of Ezekiel? I don't. Ezekiel's full of a lot of things. It's full of stuff like son of man, go and lay by the road naked, or bake your dinner with dung, and then God saying, okay, you can use cow instead of human, and then every manner of thing. There's things in, so often in so many Bibles, I have notes as I went through Ezekiel saying, not this, Lord, never this, please, Lord, you know, or saying, Lord, certainly you don't do this kind of stuff nowadays, you know, and there's so much in it, and there's so much of the declarations of the Lord, like in the sixth chapter says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel, prophesy against them and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places, and then your altars will be desolate, your incense altars will be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before idols, and I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and made to cease, and your insults altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished, and the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Whoa! What a declaration. But in your heart of hearts, do you think this was God's desire? No. God would say to Moses, I'm going to kill them all, just back off. And Moses would say, but God, if you do that, what will people think? They'll think that you can't accomplish what you said you would accomplish. And God would change his mind. Or would he? Or was he just having a conversation with Moses, and Moses' heart impressed him by saying, oh no, don't do that. Please don't do that. Because you see, the heart of God was never to do that. It was never to do that. We know that he said things like, you know, can a mother forget the child who she nurses? Of course not. So when we read these kind of things, we need to look at them and understand that this was not what God wanted. God sent Jonah to Nineveh because he didn't want to destroy Nineveh. And Jonah knew that God didn't want to destroy Nineveh. That's why Jonah said, oh, I knew if I went and told them, they'd repent and you'd forgive them. And they don't deserve to be forgiven. They should be wrapped up, squashed like bugs and burned in the fire. In fact, he wanted to watch. That's what he wanted to see, but he didn't get to see it. And remember, while he was watching, a nice plant grew up to make him all comfortable. So he had a box seat for the show. But he didn't get what he wanted. And then when his plant dried up, he was all upset about the plant drying up. And God said, you care more about that stinking plant that was giving you shade than you do about all those people. And sometimes if we will allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, even now as I say that, I think, you know, sometimes some little thing that I want become so big in my mind that what God really wants becomes not that important. And we've got to overcome that. Today down in kids' church, there were, part of it was overcoming temptation, you know? And there's little scripts for the puppeteers to read. It helps a lot if the script and the tape match. And so I was back there overcoming the temptation to be mad because I was behind like a cow's tail anyway. And we needed to get done because I needed to get home because I needed to get ready. Well, it wasn't any big deal to God if we'll fight the good fight of faith. And so God goes on to say, yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered throughout the countries. And then those who escape will remember me among the nations where they were carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed and all their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Now, I don't see that as the Lord saying, the thing I really want to do is keep my word on this. But what he's saying is I haven't said it in vain. But at any time, that could be changed. Just as we were headed for destruction, and in a moment, at the name of Jesus, our destiny was changed. I received an email this week, and I read it. I forwarded it to Vicki, and I said, you know, maybe my brain is not hitting on all the cylinders today, but this is just foreign to me, because basically the person was talking about predestination. And predestination, as in predestination, with God chose some that he would save and some that he absolutely would not save. And that being the case, still, we need to give them an opportunity, even though some of them would not have an opportunity. And I thought, this is just nuts. Because God would that nobody perish. And yet, I think this person was thoroughly convinced that, you know, there's some that can be saved, and there's some that God just doesn't want to save. Well, I'm sorry, that wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. I'm not really familiar with that kind of a theology, but because I'm not a church historian, but I know that there are people out there that have that sort of an idea that, you know, God really did create some that he wanted to destroy. He didn't create anybody that he wanted to destroy. Now, he may well know that some will choose destruction, but I believe that right up until the time they walk into the final, or out of life, into destruction, he's trying to turn them. And this is what God was doing in this oration and in many, many other declarations throughout the Old Testament. He's saying, this is what's going to happen, but it's not what I want. This is not my perfect will. This is not my choice for things. And if you know me, and if you will seek me, and if you will look at my word and hear my voice, you'll understand that this is not what I desire to do, but this is what's coming. I've heard so much for so long, so many times, from much of the church, of the body of Christ, that are sitting around waiting for everything to get terrible and people have awful things happen to them and then get escape. And so consequently, they begin even like after the most recent election. You know, there's some saying, well, boy, terrible things. God's going to do terrible things. You know, God is not good at terrible things. He just isn't. He doesn't like them. He certainly doesn't like to see his children suffer. We don't like to see our children suffer. Not one of us. Not one of us. I have never enjoyed for even a moment any of my children suffering. Never. I've never gone, oh, I can't wait to whip this one. Never. It just never has brought me joy to spank a child. I'm not kidding you, it hurts me to take away my daughter's cell phones. I just hate it. I really do. I mean, because I know how important those things are to them. You know? And I just look for an opportunity to give them back. I really do. I like it when they smile and say, I love you, Daddy. I do. Any parent that doesn't is nuts. Now, I know when I'm being stroked. I know if I'm, you know. It takes a little more than just that, but I like it because what it shows is that they're trying to do some damage repair. Now, every now and then, there's some foolishness that goes on, like copying an attitude and scowling at me after that. Now, then I have to be careful that I don't enjoy having it. I'm not big on attitude. I just, sometimes I catch myself with an attitude. I don't like that at all. And so with God, God says you were crushed. When I read this, I thought, you know, there again, God was crushed. He was crushed by their looking, by their adulterous eyes. He was crushed by their heart, their adulterous heart departing from them, and their eyes that play the harlot. Looking to this and looking to that. He was crushed. God's got feelings. And it is important for us to bear that in mind. God has feelings. It isn't just like He cares, but He's got feelings. You've got feelings, don't you? How do you like to be crushed? Oh, I don't like to be crushed. Not at all. And I certainly don't want to crush God. You know, I don't know before I was saved if I crushed Him or not. Since I wasn't His child, I don't know if I crushed Him then. If I did, I'm really, really sorry, and I've told Him that. But, you know, I mean, I don't know because I didn't know. So my opinion maybe didn't matter that much at the time. I don't know. But I know that now that I am His child, it matters. And it's good for me to remind myself, don't crush God. Don't crush God with your attitude. Don't crush God with your words. Don't crush God with your eyes. Don't crush God with your rebellion. Don't crush God with your actions, Roger. Don't crush Him. Consider Him. And then that causes a little problem, because then I have to realize that as I'm considering Him, then I have to consider all the other things I do too, because all the other things that I do, to the least of one of these, I do it unto Him. And then that makes me realize that as much as I don't want to, as much as I would never, 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 never directly crush God, as much as I refuse, I've not blamed Him for anything once since I got saved. I have not considered that He had bad plans for me once. I have not. I just know that He's good. But I am sorry to say that I don't always remember that I'm crushing Him with my attitudes or with my words or with my actions. And this is not for us to be condemned over, but this is to say, just bear it in mind. Because sometimes we can be so insensitive to others because we're so sensitive to ourselves. And in the same way, then, we're so insensitive to the desire and to the will of God. What does God really want? I have had such peace over the elections, over the economy, over the situation of our nation and our world. I mean, I just have had a peace. I've had such an assurance, which is really odd. I told Vicki tonight, you know, I said, I have not had one tiny bit of animosity toward the new president. I have felt only to pray. I haven't had one moment's thing of, how come all I voted for didn't win? You know, I haven't, and it's really strange because I had a little problem with the president before George Bush. I had a little problem sometimes getting my heart and my mind around praying the right way. So maybe I've grown up. Maybe I've just let the Lord do what the Lord wants to do. I would assume that that's what it is. But you know, the thing is that what's more important is not that I get my way, but that I do His way. And His way is to pray. And I look and I say, this is such an ideal spot for God to be magnified. This is such a perfect time for Him to show off and for the world to see. And He says, then they will know that I am the Lord. You see, that's what He wants. He wants the whole wide world to know that He is the Lord, and that's what we want too. And as we want that, we are doing repair to the damage that has been done to the heart of God. We can fill up what has been crushed. I had a friend when I was in college who was a boxer. Actually, I've had two friends that ended up having to have this done, but his nose got so busted up boxing that he couldn't hardly breathe. And so when we were in college, they decided to fix it. And the way that they fixed it was they crushed his nose and then reshaped it. When it was all over, and in the healing process, he said, if I had known that it was going to feel like that, I would have been happy to just keep barely breathing. I would have breathed through my mouth for the rest of my life, because he said it was awful. And even after he could breathe okay, he still said, I'm not sure that this was worth it. But as crushed as they had to crush it, it was reformed and they accomplished what they wanted. And our hearts need to be touched by the fact that God is crushed. And remember back a while ago, we talked about that it is a word of love and a word of praise from you drowns out all of the mocking and all of the doubting and all of the garbage. Why? Because God is listening for that. He's listening for the good, which we can learn from. We need to listen for the good. We need to listen for the goodness of God. We need to dwell on the things that He has said. We need to dwell upon His heart's attitude. We need to understand His heart, because His heart is one that loves us and cares for us, and that's what He wants, not just for us, but He wants it for everyone. And we have to be cautious that we don't forget that in all of His love, He put that same love in our hearts. And we need to be cautious about getting vindictive or vengeful, you know, getting the idea that, well, all those people that don't go along with God, may they get what they deserve. Oh, man, no, I don't want anybody to get what they deserve, because God didn't want me to get what I deserved. But still, God is crushed. But we can build Him up. That's a strange thing to say, isn't it, that we would be building up the Lord? But He likes to be magnified, doesn't He? Doesn't Scripture call for us to magnify the Lord? David said, my heart is steadfast, O Lord, my heart is steadfast. David said, how majestic is Your name, O Lord, in all the earth. How great is our God. And because of these kind of things that poured out of David, God said of him, now this is a man after my own heart. This is someone who is reaching out to me. This is someone who is after my heart. Not only does he have a heart like mine, but he's after my heart. He touches my heart. Just think of what pours out from God when we pour out to God and we're reaching for his heart. We're trying to get into his heart. Yeah. Just wanting to woo him. Just wanting to encourage him. Just wanting to let him know that, hey, choose this day who you will serve, but as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I'm not afraid of the news, of the natural, because our God reigns. Because our God is able. He's made these promises. And so, in the midst of whatever, great peace have those who've set their hearts on God. And when we have peace, then we speak peace. Then we speak confidence. Then we speak assurance. And our confidence challenges others to have some confidence. We just shouldn't be ashamed to say, you know, this might be a good time to call upon the Lord. That's what I do, is call upon the Lord. I don't know how many of you pay any attention to the Arizona Cardinals, but Kurt Warner's on the Arizona Cardinals now, and Kurt Warner was an MVP twice in the NFL, and then for 5 years nobody wanted him. And now Kurt Warner is back. And they say to him, and what do you think about this? He says, I just praise God that he's given me this opportunity to do this again. At a time when, you know, the sky is falling and the world is coming to an end, we can say, I know the Lord. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he has good plans for me. I know that he has good plans for everyone who will call upon his name. Not only that, but I know that there are those who won't call upon his name who will get an overflow of the good plans just because that's the way God is. The rain falls on the wicked and upon the righteous. It just happens. And so, you know, we can even say, you know, whether you call on him or not, it'd be a good idea to stay close to me. And then you'll know that he's the Lord. You will know that he's the Lord. I believe it. And I know you believe it too. And I know that all who have been steadfast in seeking the Lord from time and eternity have believed that the Lord does not forsake his people. And we can be as Paul was. This is a confidence we have. As John said, when we pray, we know that he hears us. Thanks be to God, Paul said, who always causes us to triumph. It's time for those who love the Lord to declare the goodness of the Lord, to expect the goodness of the Lord, and have others see the goodness of the Lord as the Lord pours out his goodness on us. Now, when we have that attitude, the Lord's no longer crushed because we're not idolaters. Because our eyes aren't wandering to somewhere else. I will look up unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We can do so much just by being steadfast, by being faithful, by loving the Lord, by fighting the good fight of faith, by casting down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, by just standing and knowing that this is the will of God, this is the heart of God. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. God has good plans for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the way God is. And my prayer is that I will rightly represent him in the earth. That somehow, some way, people will be drawn to him. The Apostle Paul said, whatever it takes, that some might come to know the Lord. That some might behold the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, in this lifetime. Amen? And when we have that attitude, it puffs the Lord right up. It makes him proud. It encourages him. I know he's God. But he's not some unfeeling God. He's not a man that he can lie. But he has a heart that can be hurt. And he watches and he looks to see if there's anyone. And we say, here am I, Lord. Amen? Here am I, Lord. To do your will. Father, this is our desire. To do your will. To bring you joy. To bring you glory. To bring your favor to the nation and to the world. To stop the plague, to declare the favor of the Lord, to stand against unrighteousness in righteousness, to bring you glory, to you be all glory, that the world might know you are Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this, Father. Amen.